The True King Killer, written and read by O'Reilly 42. This is a Hannibal fanfic, relationship Will Graham Hannibal Lecter. Additional characters include Beverly Katz, Alana Bloom, Jimmy Price, Brian Zeller, and Mason Verger. Additional tags include alternate universe The Mummy Fusion, The Mummy AU, background science husbands, implicit murder wives, Beverly and Will are bros, Bev doesn't die because I said so, supernatural elements, humor, body horror, true love, TM, death and undeath, and this fic is a pendulum between almost crack and psychological horror, so like the show, basically, first kiss and first time. Summary. Quote from When Harry Met Sally.
It's amazing. You look like a normal person, but actually you are the angel of death.
Will Graham, forensic archaeologist, doesn't believe in ancient curses. Then he frees a mummy from its century-long imprisonment and has to reevaluate that belief system. A comedy of horrors ensues, lives are lost, and love is found. Author's note. This story is very loosely based on the charmingly preposterous mythology of the Mummy movies, especially the Tom Cruise reboot, which I just inexplicably love, with a variety, of course, of Hannibal-esque liberties taken. This is also the first Hannibal fic I ever wrote, and so I would like to echo the same hello I gave in the text version of this fic in the audio version. Hello, Hannibal fandom. Great to get to know ya. And a note for this podfic version, you can find more information about the fic, title chapters, etc., etc., in the text version of this fic on archive of our own. Alright, without further ado, Chapter 1, A Dark and Doubtful Presentiment. Outside a cold, dark cave in Lithuania. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Will glanced up at Beverly, an uncharacteristically grim expression creasing her face. Getting squeamish on me now, Katz? Concern sharpened into annoyance. Screw you, Graham. I'm just saying, maybe don't go stomping into the super freaky ancient tomb that all the locals say is mega cursed, with nothing but a flashlight and your moderately good looks. Will frowned. Moderately? Beverly socked him in the shoulder. Yeah, that's the part to concentrate on. I'm being serious, Will. I've got a bad feeling about this one.
I get a bad feeling about all of them, Will said in reply, scratching his jaw.
He had been working for the Crawford team, specializing in forensic excavation and reconstruction of grave sites, for years now, and every job left him feeling sick and adrift in the endless river of murder and disease and terrible acts of God that was human history. He knew he should stop if he wanted to see the other side of 40, but he didn't. This was his job. It was what he did. It was what he was good at. Then why don't we forget this and pack it up to the nearest bar? I mean, beer? Beverly held up one hand, palm up at about shoulder height, then sank her other hand to her waist and said dryly, "Cursed tomb." Will closed his eyes. Beverly, do you know how many times I've been told this site is cursed?
Many times, Beverly sighed.
Do you know how many times I've gone in anyway?
Every time.
Do you know how many times I've been cursed with ancient evil?
Well, it would only have to happen once.
The corners of Will's lips turned up in a reluctant grin. Fair point. Nonetheless, Will shifted his weight meaningfully towards the entrance to the tomb. Beverly waved toward the craggy mouth of the ivy-laden cave, wind whistling ominously through it like the trapped screams of the damned. Oh, please, after you. Will stepped into the cave without any further fanfare.
The temperature dropped as the meager moonlight evaporated, raising the hair on the back of his neck. His boots crunched over sooty gravel and the eerie white of tiny avian skeletons. His flashlight bobbed along the path like a ghostly spotlight in the pitch dark, Beverly's higher-watt lamp filling in the walls of the cave just enough to generate a sense of claustrophobic confinement. "Remind me again why we're here at night, alone, without help or mechanized equipment?" Beverly asked, following Will from a few feet behind. She thought a moment longer and added, "Or snacks?" "Jack and the rest just muck things up," Will said, growing impatient now that he'd gotten his way. "You know how I work, you know I need to see the scene fresh." "Nothing about this is fresh," Beverly enunciated, flicking away the cobwebs that caught in her hair. "You like getting your hands dirty as much as I do," Will shot back at her. "I prefer getting them dirty under the watchful eye of an excavation team and a 10K light grid," Beverly sighed, but she couldn't deny that she understood the appeal. Towing across the line of a proper discovery, sticking one's nose where it didn't belong, it was why she was the go-to gal for lassoing their unit's antisocial grave guru. Tonight, though, she wished she hadn't gotten so buddy-buddy with Will, if it meant she wouldn't be trudging through ankle-deep water to get to a Lithuanian gravesite only recently released from the realm of the mythical into the genuine by a chance encounter with some mining charges gone awry. "You win this round, Graham," she said, stepping carefully over a trail of mucky rocks. "But just so you know, if I see Nosferatu down there, I'm running for my life and leaving you behind. You'd have to go at least 500 miles south to find Dracula and his ilk," Will said, absent-minded. "But I catch your meaning and won't hold it against you if you leave me to my doom. Well, as long as we're on the same page." After a few more minutes of quiet, filled only with the sound of sucking mud and distant water rushing, the two arrived at the dimly illuminated mine site. The miners had left behind signage indicating the safest entrance to the unearthed tomb, as well as numerous notices indicating how distinctly unsafe the whole area was. They'd also left some wreaths of garlic and a smattering of handmade wooden crosses. Beverly pointed stoutly at the garlic and crosses. "I reiterate, vampires." Will didn't bother with a rebuttal, partly because he knew Beverly was rational enough not to actually believe in vampires, and partly because he was just irrational enough to shiver at the possibility. Before he could think too much about it, Will plunged forward into the dark, the atmosphere growing impossibly muggier, the shadows so thick he wanted to brush them away with his hands. Beverly followed with a muttered curse, the clomp of her boots behind Will anchoring him in a darkness so viscous it seemed to absorb whatever light he could throw at it. Something in the tone of the endless dark changed, and they emerged into a vast chamber, their twin shocked intakes of breath echoing around the space. They stood at the point of a triangle, the wall splitting off around them, then coming back together in a flat wall of stone. In the center of the room's triangle lay another, smaller, and built of sandy rock that flowed up to support a trio of statues guarding the edges of a chasm about 20 feet wide. They edged closer, but neither the flashlight nor the lamp could reach more than a few dozen feet into the pit. This was the kind of hole where you didn't see its depth, but felt it. Nothing about this place looked like they'd expected. Will had encountered death rituals the world over, seen the grotesque and the divine, the two overlapping most of the time. Love and hate and fear scrawled across those places, but here they existed in quantities and combinations unfamiliar even to his practiced senses. "No burial mound?" Beverly noted, practical as always. She set down the lamp and pulled out a smaller flashlight from inside her jacket, using it to scout along the edges of the pit and up the side of the nearest statue. "That's weird," Will hummed. "Maybe it collapsed," he offered, but it sounded weak even to him. That this pit was deliberately made couldn't be clearer. "Something's not right here," Beverly said aloud what they were both thinking. "Actually, a lot of things. The protective figures are facing inwards, not out. No offerings accompanying the dead to the next world." She swung her flashlight along the smooth, flattened ring of earth surrounding the risen edges of the pit. "And what the hell is that?" They leaned over the border of the pit and sink, hands instinctively finding each other's elbows to keep from falling in. Light glinted like liquid moonlight in the beam of the flashlight, flowing in a silvery molten circle just below the mouth of the pit. "Mercury," Will realized, picking up a twig from the ground and dipping it in the shivering liquid metal, holding it up for inspection. He realized the twig was in fact the ulnar bone of a bird's wing. He didn't drop it. At this point, he'd usually have absorbed enough information to begin recreating the scene in his mind.
following the path of the buried and the buriers, tracing their history, feeling their lives. Usually, he closed his eyes to wipe clear the disturbances of humans and history between him and the object of his thought. But in a darkness this complete, closing his eyes would be redundant at best, and standing this close to an endless pit, foolhardy at worst. Which is all to say, his eyes were open. He was sure of that, when he saw it. Like a whisper across a lake, a sound in the shape of images, a flash of green foliage, freshly disturbed dirt, the silhouette of a man, a crown of antlers. Will spotted them at the far end of the cave, heading the opposite point of the triangle, held reverently throughout time in the stone hands of a guardian statue. He set off towards them, leaving Beverly behind in his single-minded ambition. They were a glistening, almost iridescent black. They shouldn't have even been visible in the dim light, but Will couldn't see anything else, the inky tines seeming to catch at the edges of his vision and drag his eyes back to their nest. Beverly shouted after him, "Will, unless your entire IQ evaporated when we entered this damn cave, then you know as well as I do that this isn't a tomb." "It's not," Will agreed, coming to a halt in front of the antlers. His eyes followed the path of ebony bone to the base and then straight down. In the eternal darkness, he could have sworn he saw the shape of a man encased in stone. "It's a prison." "What the hell were these people trying to lock up?" "You just said it," Will replied softly, understanding clicking into place. "They were trying to hold back hell." "Will, we are leaving now." Beverly's tone brooked no room for disobedience, but Will wasn't listening to her, transfixed by the antlers' unearthly gleam. They almost seemed to move, like they were made of water merely choosing to hold the shape of bone on a whim. Will reached out until nothing more than a few atoms separated his fingers from the base of the antlers. He murmured to himself a thoughtless prayer. "But when it comes to hell, I've always preferred to raise it." He closed his hands around the bone. It was warm to the touch and smoother than he could imagine. A great cracking noise sounded deep within the earth, and then, whispered in Will's ear, came a reply. "When it comes to hell, I've always felt the same." Will spun around, trying to locate the voice, but only succeeded in losing his footing and ended up sprawling on his ass. "Will!" Beverly called, alarmed. She took off towards him, ducking when a splatter of sand and rock flew from the chasm. Another shuddering crack rose up from the pit, and when Will looked down, he found the set of antlers come alive in his hands, wreathing like snakes as they wrapped around his arms. His scream was trapped in his throat as the snakes coiled into his skin, living tattoos of black fire searing into his flesh. Beverly's hands clamped down around Will's outstretched arms, and he shouted, "Don't!" for fear the snakes would turn on her to consume next. But then the snakes were gone with a last red-hot hiss, dissolving into his flesh, and all he saw was Beverly's worried face glowing in the dark. "What happened?" she asked, dragging him to his feet. His legs felt like lead, and he worried for a moment that their monstrous weight would drag him into the ground. I picked them up," Will said, still staring at his forearms. "I picked them up and..." The antlers were gone. The hands of the statue were closed, like they never held anything at all.
"We have to get out of here," Beverly said, clear and calm despite the fear in her eyes. "This place could come down around our ears." Will didn't reply. He just let Beverly yank him forward, momentum carrying him towards the exit until his feet finally caught up and started moving him along. He looked back, just once, at the pit. He didn't see the pit. He saw greenery and a blade and a man with red eyes and a mouth like a wound. He was beautiful, and Will wanted to turn around and go back to him. "What are you doing?" Will blinked, and Beverly had her arms thrown around his waist, hauling him down the winding tunnel away from the collapsing tomb as she shouted at him. He found himself trying to get away from her, return to the noise and the stone and the darkness. "I don't..." Will faltered, but righted himself, stumbling after her towards their escape. Beverly kept a hand clamped on the arm of his jacket, eyes flicking periodically over to him like he might try and bolt again. Will couldn't be sure he wouldn't. The walls of the cave wailed as stone turned to dust in the destruction. Great boulders began to crash down around their shoulders, and Will finally started feeling the fear that had so far been markedly absent. They erupted into the cool night air, pulverized stone chasing their feet as they slowed to a halt. Will turned back to the mouth of the cave, watching it cough up its ancient remains as it collapsed in on itself. It didn't look particularly remarkable in the moonlight, just a cave in a quiet little town.
but his heart was still trying to beat its way out of his chest, reminding him of how close Death's fingers had gotten, and not just because of the cave-in. Every time he blinked, he saw the man in the green forest painted on the inside of his eyelids, blood so red it was black, dripping from his blade. Will was distantly aware of Beverly saying something. He didn't settle firmly back into reality until she started shaking his shoulders.
Will? Will? Huh? What? Are you hurt? He asked, sounding more confused than concerned. The idea that she might be injured buzzed around like a fly outside his consciousness, irritating and paltry.
I'm fine, Beverly huffed. Are you?
Yes, Will replied, giving the word enough space so that it didn't sound like a tinned response, which it was, or a lie, which it also was. Beverly looked unconvinced, as Will knew she would be. She was smart.
Sure you don't need a doctor or anything? She asked, giving him another once-over.
Huh? Will didn't meet her eyes, only about 20% of his mind present for the conversation. Oh, no, I'm fine.
All right, then I need a goddamn beer.
Beverly dragged him to the nearest bar, one of four Will had counted so far. It was always good to be aware of the location of the nearest alcohol. The slightly grungy establishment was loosely populated with locals. Old men, mostly, retired from the town profession due to creaky knees and aching spines that wouldn't allow for their back-breaking labor to continue. They visibly conspired among their number when Will and Beverly stormed in and made a beeline for the bar, before sending over a man with a white beard and a glint in his eyes.
Hello, he said in lightly accented English. You two look like you've seen some trouble.
You could say that, Beverly replied, saving Will from having to.
Looks like you might have been, poking around in the caves. The man continued with a pointed glance at their dusty clothes, plumbing for information. Beverly looked like she was going to not so politely brush him off, but Will beat her to the punch. He'd be happy to give this man whatever gossip he desired if it meant Will could learn something himself.
You know about the caves? Will asked, turning on his stool.
Ha, do I? The man took this as an invitation, settling onto the stool next to Will and holding out a hand.
Darius, he proclaimed with a wide smile. His upper right canine glinted gold.
Will shook the proffered hand, begrudging the contact.
Will, he replied before cutting to the chase. Brilliant green flickered behind his eyelids. A blade.
Any clue what the hell's buried down there?
Ah, you've been looking at what my friends dug up, no?
Will nodded.
There are many stories about that place.
Darius wagged two fingers at the bartender and a beer materialized in his hand. His eyes glowed with the light of a storyteller in his element.
They say it holds a monster from the pit, but born of man. An evil so great, death could not hold him, so he was imprisoned in metal and stone and earth, a terrible beast with a stag's horns and black eyes.
Red eyes, Will corrected automatically.
Darius rolled to a halt mid-gesture.
Excuse me?
Sorry. Will scrubbed a hand across his face. Never mind. Go on.
Darius seemed deflated, possibly more than that, a little afraid.
The beast was entombed centuries ago for his crimes against man and God. He slew without remorse and feasted on the fruit of his violence.
A cannibal, Will deduced. Wonderful.
Darius's gaze was distinctly wary now. He held his beer to his chest as if he feared Will's aura may poison it.
Yes, a man who ate other men, and women, and children. His own children, even.
Yikes, Beverly commented. Good thing he's dead, and a myth, she said significantly.
Will carefully avoided her gaze when she swiveled on her stool to glare at him.
To see such a creature walk the earth again would be a terrible fate for all humankind. And so, those who entombed him laid a curse on the key that would unleash him. They say that he who freed this monster would be doomed to forever join him in his living death.
Living death, Will repeated dully. Never really got that idea. I mean, aren't we all just meat waiting to rot? What makes the living dead so special?
Darius didn't reply. Will realized, not for the first time in his life, that he hadn't sufficiently censored his inner thoughts before releasing them into the world.
Well, it is getting late, Darius said, unsteady as he rose. I shall leave you two in peace.
Wait, Will tried to say, thinking he should at least pay for the man's beer, but he slipped away with a flinch and a shudder.
Well, he thinks you're cursed, Beverly said bluntly, watching Darius return to his friends, quick-like. I did just disturb the final resting place of an evil so great death couldn't hold him, Will quoted. Not a bad assumption to make. Beverly tapped her fingernails on the wooden bar to get his attention. You weren't disturbing anything alone. I was right there next to you. And besides, I thought you didn't believe in curses. Will pursed his lips. I don't. Uh-huh. I don't, he repeated, and he almost sounded like he believed it. Will and Beverly finished their drinks in silence before paying up and heading out. A storm had gathered while they'd been inside the bar, a fierce wind threatening to knock them off their feet as soon as they stepped outside. So that was weird in there, Beverly picked up their conversation where they'd left off. Not the whole curse thing, that's pretty routine for us, but the whole Will Graham initiating an unnecessary conversation with a stranger thing. Will let out a noncommittal harumph. You want to tell me what's up? What got you so spooked you risked unplanned social interaction? Because I know some little cave-in didn't do it. Will remained silent. I'll take that as a no, Beverly sighed. Well, if you ever feel like sharing and caring, you know where to find me. Will managed to dredge up something like the corpse of a smile at that. Beverly just sighed again and continued stomping along the gravel side road that led to the small but homey bed and breakfast that served as the only form of hospitality available in a 40-mile radius. Will followed, stepping carefully in her tracks, each of his boot prints gently eclipsing the ones she'd left behind. A subtle crunch from the woods to their right tore his eyes from the ground and into the unblinking black gaze of a small brown deer. There was another crunch. Will paused. Deer weren't exactly a noisy sort. When they were on their own, that is, Will amended mentally, as his view widened to encompass the span of midnight jade trees. Dozens of pairs of identical black eyes shone out from between the leaves, reflecting Will's expression back at him, a mirrored fractal of curiosity and fear. A train whistle split the chill night air. Beverly's head whipped around, ponytail swinging over her shoulder. The train was close, far closer than it should have been. The tracks were at least half a mile away, but the whistle sounded barely beyond the tree line. The unholy herd of deer burst from between the branches, at least 100 clattering hooves spitting up gravel as the animals stampeded towards them. What the hell? Beverly shouted. Will agreed with the sentiment. Beverly tried to grab Will and make a run for it, but Will stood still, planted in the ground. He knew there was no point in running. Beverly clutched at Will's sleeve with one hand, lifting the other instinctively to protect her face as a wall of musky heat overtook them. The deer flowed around them like soft brown waves topped with fluffy white caps. Their hides brushed Beverly where she was pressed against Will's back, but not so much as a hair landed on Will. He couldn't say he'd known that would happen, but he wasn't surprised by it either. He was, however, genuinely surprised when a flash of light caught the corner of his eye, and he turned to find that train they'd heard flying towards them at alarming speeds, apparently paying no mind to the fact that it had abandoned its rails many meters ago. The behemoth of metal and sparking wheels hurtled towards them, and Will shoved Beverly into the last members of the fleeing herd, watching her slim form get swept away while the nose of the train grew impossibly large in his field of vision. With a detached sense of interest, Will caught a glimpse of his legs being turned to pink, bony pulp before his brain suffered the same fate.